Hey, normally what I do right about this time is I scream, "Good morning, Church on the Rock."
Good morning,
Church! Hold on! I'm not going to scream it, but I want you to do exactly what they just did. When I say good morning, Church on the Rock, you guys say good morning, Rashad. It kind of gets the juices flowing, gets me going. So please, if you could just help me out with this. I'm praying God has a special message for you guys and everybody's touched this morning. So, good morning, Church on the Rock.
Good morning, Rashad!
Oh, I need to be sick every week if that's the case. I need to be sick every week. Let me do that one more time. Good morning, Church on the Rock.
Good morning, Rashad!
Amen. Once again, my name is Rashad Cunningham. I am the pastor here at Church on the Rock. This message that we're about to get into, it's not your normal, you know, jump to a scripture about the resurrection, but every scripture you preach should be grounded in the resurrection if you're preaching from the Bible. That's what the Bible is all about. So, I'm going to start it off like this, and y'all just work with me here. Man, see, I be thinking about my old life, all the things I used to be. Talking to my old friends, they like they not used to me. Told them I'm a Christian now, nothing like they used to see. Now they trying to figure out how the Lord is using me. 2 Corinthians 5:17 will teach you, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. New things have come. No wonder my boys is acting like they don't know where I'm from. I thank God for the favor I got, for the blessings he gives, the abundance I live. I deny myself, take my cross daily. Luke 9:23, I'm a Christian, look at me. And God looked at me when no one else was able. Jesus said, follow me, then sat at my table. I'm just hoping some of y'all can see that Christ takes us from victim to victory. Amen?
Amen.
Give it up for God, man. Give it up for God. This is what we're going to be speaking about today, from victim to victory. We're going to be in Luke 5. Luke 5, verses 27 through 32. We started this 2 weeks ago. I was going to finish it last week, but the enemy made it snow and then didn't get rid of it. So I'm going to finish it this week anyway. And just to give you a quick recap, 2 weeks ago we talked about, Matthew the tax collector. Matthew the tax collector. What was important about that was the label tax collector had Matthew outcasted from society, outcasted from his own people. Has anybody ever felt outcasted because of some choices they've made in the past? Anybody felt outcasted because of some decisions that they've made in the past? And as a result, people look over you or overlook you or don't want nothing to do with you or won't sit with you, won't chill with you, any of those things right there. Anybody feel that way or have ever felt that way? So when we talked about it, I gave a deep testimony about myself. I'm not going to go into it right now. You can go back and hear the scripture. But I gave a deep testimony about myself, about how 15 years ago, I made a decision that had me outcasted by many people. Made a decision that made it where I wasn't looked at as somebody fit to watch my 2-year-old nephew, and yet God overlooked that, still saw me, and made me the pastor of Church on the Rock. Amen, somebody right there. Amen, somebody. So we're going to continue in that scripture today. We're going to look at Luke 5, 27 through 29. I mean, excuse me, 27 through 32. We're going to be in 29 through 32, but I want you to hear the whole story. So it says, after that, he, being Jesus, went out and noticed a tax collector named Levi sitting in the tax booth. And he said to him, follow me. And he left everything behind, and he got up and he began to follow him. And Levi gave a big reception for him in his house. And there was a great crowd of tax collectors and other people who were reclining at the table with them. The Pharisees and their scribes began grumbling at his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with the tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus answered and said to them, it is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. Finally, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That is such a powerful text right there. And we're mainly going to be right there. We're going to break it down from there. But I want to ask you a question. And if I belch or cough, excuse me, I've been drinking tea all morning, okay? So, does anybody remember high school, middle school? Some of you still are in high school and middle school. Does anybody remember what the biggest decision was in high school and middle school? Anybody remember what the biggest decision was in high school and middle school? Some people would say, what was that? What sport you was going to play. That was one of them. Another one was, what college was you going to go to? Another one was, like, if you was, who he's going to go to prom with, all those different things, right? But for me, being the only black kid in Brownsburg, Indiana, the biggest decision for me was, what lunch table was I going to sit at? You see, because the lunch table you sit at is who you get associated with, right? Like, depending on what, like, y'all remember that, right? Like, you walk into the lunchroom, and everybody's in their little tables, and you're like, if I sit over there, I'm going to be labeled this. If I sit over there, I'm going to be labeled this. If I sit over there, I'm going to be labeled this. And I'm labeling, I ain't going to sit over there with them crazy folks over there, right? So you will walk in the lunchroom, and you had to decide which table you were going to sit at. And based on the table that you sat at, you got labeled, correct? Well, when we're talking about victim to victory, the first victim that we're going to talk about is ourselves, the victims of the labels, the victims of the labels. And this is what I mean by that. After Matthew, the tax collector, was saved, per se, or began to follow Jesus, he went out and he had a big party for Jesus Christ. Now, I need y'all to see that part right there. Go to that verse, it's 529. He had a big party for Jesus Christ. The party wasn't for the tax collectors. The party was for Jesus Christ. Don't let that go over your head, because sometimes we come to church and this is a Jesus Christ party today, right? Like, we're celebrating what Christ did on the cross today, right? But people want to come in here and make it all about their praise and their style of worship and their style of teaching. I'm like, hold on, it's not about you, it's about Jesus Christ. I mean, have you ever been to a birthday party and there's a kid that's upset because they can't blow out the candles and they can't open up the gifts? And you like, young man, it's not about you. This is not your birthday party, right? It's the same thing today. It's the same thing every Sunday. We are here to celebrate Christ, not celebrate you, not celebrate the fact that you showed up today, not celebrate the fact that you was on time today. Hallelujah. But we're here to celebrate Jesus Christ. This is not about you, whether you come here every week, whether you come here a few times a year, or whatever that is. We're here to celebrate Christ, and I want to make that apparent at the very beginning. I am here for Christ. I am not here to be lenient on God's word. I'm here to teach you what the scriptures say. That is my responsibility as a pastor. So starting with that, I do want to speak into this. We are victims of our labels. It says Levi gave a big reception for Jesus Christ in his house, and there was a great crowd of tax collectors and other people who were reclining at the table with him. Now, once again, tax collectors were the outcast of their culture. Tax collectors were the ones that were looked at and frowned upon. Today they would be murderers. They would be child molesters. They would be people addicted to alcohol, people addicted to porn. They would be all these long list of labels that would have been the tax collectors and others. In another gospel, it says sinners. It actually says sinners. I want you to understand this. This is the lunch table Jesus sat at. This is the lunch table Jesus sat at. Now think about this. Many of you who are in here right now are in here because you're like, somebody invited me. Some of you may have reservations, like, I don't really want to go in there, because when I go in there, this is what they say. Oh, you only come on Easter and Christmas, right? That's a label. That's a label, and the Christians give them that label because we're like the Pharisees. But Jesus says, that's exactly who I want to sit with, the people that only come on Easter and Christmas. Some of us didn't want to come because we don't have church clothes. But Jesus said, that's who I want to sit with, the people who don't wear the church clothes. We're a victim of our labels. We're a victim of our labels. There's been so many things that kept me out the church when I was growing up. And it wasn't until somebody told me that Jesus wanted to sit with me, the tax collector, sit with me, the sinner, sit with me, the alcoholic, sit with me, the one addicted to porn. Jesus wanted to sit at my table. Why is it we won't sit at their tables? We say we want to imitate Christ, right? But we won't sit at their tables. Here's something I want to say to Christians that are in the house right now. Don't invite people to your temple if you're not willing to sit at their table. Bonnie, show me that real quick. Don't invite people to sit in your temple if you're not willing to sit at their table, if you refuse to sit at their table. Can you understand how that's a messed up thought in Christianity? That's why people don't want to come to church as it is. because we only invite them on Christmas and Easter. Then we talk about them because they only come on Christmas and Easter, because we won't talk to them unless it's Christmas or Easter. Like, how much sense does that make? We label them Keisters, CMEs. I've heard all these names. Oh, here comes the Easter crowd and the Easter Christmas crowd. And they're like, why would I come back to a place that labels me? Why aren't we celebrating the fact that they've walked in twice a year? But we're victims of labels. You see, labels, they divide everything about us. And when you label somebody, do you know you remove the image of God from them? Like, think about this. I don't care what you've done in your history. I don't care what you've done in your background. The Bible says you were made in the image of God. So when I take whatever you've done in your past, or when I take whatever you've done with your past decisions or your past mistakes, and I label you and put you at this cafeteria table right here and say I can't sit over there with them, you've removed the image of God from them. You no longer see God's creation. You just see whatever the sin is. Jesus saw God's creation. Jesus saw a potential believer. Jesus saw somebody who may turn into the next Billy Graham. But instead, what we do is we label them. We label them, and we quarantine ourselves from them. And then we talk about them because they only come certain times. Man, I don't know what it's like in here, but I know I used to go to a church where people would come in because they were invited on Easter, and then they never heard from the Christian brother again until it was Christmas time. How many of you invited some people? Maybe they didn't show up this morning, but you're going to give them a call Tuesday and just check in on them. How many of you are going to look past the fact that they didn't walk into your temple and still find a way to go sit at their table? See, this is what Jesus did. This is the one we're supposed to imitate. I love how it says that he told Matthew, follow me, and then he followed Matthew back to Matthew's table. Look at that. Go back to the scripture, Bonnie, on 29. It says that Levi gave a big reception for him in his house, and there was a great crowd of tax collectors and other people who were reclining at the table. To recline at the table with somebody is no different than what it was in the lunchroom. It means I approve of you. It means I associate with you. It means I call you a friend. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I didn't sit at the lunch table with my enemies. I sat at the lunch table with my friends, right? So for Jesus to recline at the table with the tax collectors and the sinners, this was a big problem to a whole bunch of people. And for us, it would be a big problem to many of us. Many of us are so Christianese, or so into what we're, you know, into our Bible reading and so much that we've seen people as like untouchable, like don't touch them, like don't be a part of them, don't go out and make disciples like the Great Commission says. Instead, let's stay in our holy huddle, let's stay in here, and let's just build each other up and share the gospel to each other, and let's just grow in here and be a mighty strong church inside these walls. Let's not get out these walls, because out these walls is dangerous and it's contaminated, and label. So you know what the people say that got the labels? They say, I'm not coming to your church. Because now, those labels that they feel, they want to label you now. And that's where we get the hypocrites and the Christian folks and the holier than thou. They're just responding to what we're doing to them. So now I don't want to be in church on Easter, Christmas, or any Sunday for that matter. Because you've labeled me based on the decisions I've made in the past. You've labeled me based on some things of who I was or what I'm struggling with. Instead of seeing me as somebody who is sin sick, you just see the sin part and don't want nothing to do with me. Unless it's a holiday and you can make the attendance numbers go up. Ouch. Everybody say ouch.
Ouch.
Yeah, I'm feeling that too. So what happens is, when he sat at the table and he reclined at the table with them, he showed them you can belong before you believe. Amen. He showed them that you can belong before you believe. Check this out real quick. When I listen to the testimonies, we have some people getting baptized today. This is what you hear about them. When they give their testimony, they say, it starts out with like, I was in my youth group. I was with my church family. I was with my pastor. A whole bunch of ownership of things that they don't technically belong to. They haven't signed the membership form when they said this. They haven't went through the membership class or learned all the different books of the Bible or know how many books are in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, but they still take that ownership of saying, my church family, my youth group, my pastor, my 5-9 family, they belong before they believe. Think about your own testimony. Many of you will say, it was my this or my that that led me to Christ, which means that they led you to Christ and you belonged to them or with that group long before you believed in Jesus Christ. Now look at this right here. When he's at this table that nobody else will sit with, the Savior will sit with them, but the scribes and the Pharisees won't sit with them. He's at this table sitting with all these people who society looks down at, and he says, not only do I see you, but I'm a part of this table. I know what it's going to do to my reputation. I know how people on the outside are going to look at me, but I'm that concerned about your salvation, and I'm that concerned about you being introduced to me that I'll bypass all of that just to win your soul. Do you realize that's kind of what you hear when you hear about Christ going to the cross and taking on sins that were not his sins? He who knew no sin became sin for us. It's the same thing. You see, he wasn't a drunkard. He wasn't a glutton. He wasn't a tax collector. He wasn't an adulterer. He wasn't any of these things. And he still sat at that table taking the risk of his reputation of being called those things. And we know from the Bible he was called all of those things and yet did none of them. But his reputation didn't matter as much as the soul of one believer, one tax collector. For many of you, that's you. So how do we go from being the humble to being the hypocrites? How do we go from being the person who Jesus sat at our table to now we don't want to sit at nobody else's table? I mean, you ever had a friend, maybe I got this story where me and a friend was looking for a job, right? And he had a hookup. And he got a job. We had both been filling out applications all the time. He had a hookup. He got the job. And they were still hiring. All he had to do was recommend me. But he was so worried about me and how I would do based on his name. And he didn't want to put his name out there. So he wouldn't recommend me for the job. And I'm like, hold on. We've been filling out applications all this time together, running together. Now that you got a job, you can't come back and help a brother out? All you got to do is introduce me to the person, but he didn't want to mess up his reputation. That's how some of us are, right? We've been introduced to Christ. Somebody pulled us in. Somebody led us to Christ, but we don't want to go back to the people we used to run around with and bring them to the table to see Christ ourselves. Or like the type of person I really can't stand is the one who gets the good job, you know, with the good food. Like maybe they get a job at Chick-fil-A. I know a lot of people like Chick-fil-A, all right? And you got a hookup now. Y'all know what a hookup is? Basically, you got access to Chick-fil-A. You can bring it home whenever you want to, and you can bring me some. All right? So you got access to Chick-fil-A. You can bring me home some of them waffle fries, some of them chicken biscuit thingies. The nuggets. Y'all know the nuggets, the Chick-fil-A nuggets, right? You can bring home a whole platter of nuggets, and you won't bring me one. You know what we call that? In my culture, we call that acting brand new. Why are you acting brand new? See, some of us Christians is acting brand new. We've been hooked up. Jesus cleansed you, right? Jesus hooked you up, hired you, put you in the ministry, and now you acting brand new and don't want to go around and get back around your friends who you used to struggle with. Unless it's Easter. Then we make that phone call, hey, how you been? And if I could translate it, we're basically trying to bump our attendance numbers up. Would you come? And then if they don't come, we don't talk to them again until Christmas. And then we want to label them the Christmas and Easter crowd. That's not Christ. That's not church. And that's not Church on the Rock as long as I'm pastoring this thing. Amen. So we're victim of labels, but we're also victims of legalism. We are victims of legalism. That's my second point. Put that up real quick. Victims of our legalism. We're not only victims of our labels and the things that people throw on us and the things we throw on others, but we're victims of our legalism. If anything, matter of fact, the legalism is what leads to the labels. I want you to see this real quick. Bonnie, give me Luke 18. Give me Luke 18 real quick. I want you to see this parable. Jesus is about to tell a parable. It says, he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. So these are the Pharisees. He says, two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, one a tax collector, okay? The Pharisee stood, and look at this, and was praying this to himself. Check that out. He wasn't even praying to God. That's a Pharisee. He wasn't even praying to God. He was praying this to himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like the other people. Whoa, you got some nerve, right? But that's how some of us do. That's how some of us do. I thank you that I'm not like sister so-and-so. She need to get it together. I thank you I'm not like brother so-and-so. He need to get it together. I thank you that my parenting is better than sister so-and-so because her kids is bad. I thank you that I'm like brother so-and-so because he's a drunk. And he's got this problem and that problem. And that's what we do with this legalism. It's like he says, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. Swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector right next to me. In the same temple, supposedly praying to the same God, but I thank you I'm not like him. What is he going to say? He says, look at this legalism. I fast twice a week, two times. I pay tithes of all that I get. You see that legalism? Look at the stuff that I do. I'm not even praying to God. I'm just puffing myself up. It says he wasn't even praying to God. He was praying to himself. How do you pray to yourself? Man, Shy, you are dope. Man, Shy, you are an awesome Christian. Boy, the way you preached that message, even when you didn't have your voice. Man, I'm so happy I'm not like the rest of these knuckleheads in here. Like, what does that look like, right? But he was so caught up in what he was doing, right? But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift his eyes up to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Just stop right there, Bonnie. Look at that comparison. What you see here is the Pharisee, he's comparing himself to the fallen instead of comparing himself to the Father. You see, it's real easy to puff yourself up when you're comparing yourself to other sinners. But what happens when you compare yourself to the Savior? You see how that would humble you? You see how that would make you look at people differently? You see how you wouldn't be judging people by what they wore when they came in here or what struggle they are in their life? Because you're not comparing yourself to them. You're comparing yourself to Him. And when you compare yourself to Him, you don't look no better than them. But we become victims to our legalism. We got this checklist of things that make us think we look good. We like, man, came to church on time, check, looking good. Stayed for two services, mama, check, looking real good. Did my devotions all week, Billy, check, looking good. I serve on the worship team. I serve on the welcome ministry. I serve on the front seat ministry. Check, 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 looking fine, right? While the other brother who's coming in, who actually realizes, I have a problem with alcohol, I have a problem with porn, I have a problem with these things. You know what he's doing? He ain't looking at nobody else. He's too concerned on his own. He's looking up at the Savior saying, I don't know why you died for me, Father. I don't know why you gave your life for me, Father. I can't worry about what everybody else is doing because when I look at my own life, I don't even deserve to be alive. You told me sin had a wage of death and I'm still breathing? After what I did last night, after what I did this past week, I'm still breathing. I ain't got time to look at nobody else and judge them and be legalistic. No, I'm not even worthy to be in this place right now preaching your word, Father. I need you. It's a completely different tone. And if you have that heart, you know what happens when you have that heart? You start chasing after other people because you know you got a hookup. You start running to other people. You start having house parties and inviting Jesus and telling the other people, come on. Because you are so convinced that if he did it for you, he can do it for anybody else in this room. Amen. That's why I get up every morning. That's why I study hard. That's why I do the things that I do, not to be legalistic and look at how good I look, but to remind myself of how bad I look in the eyes of the Father without Jesus Christ, and then go find other people and tell them they can look good too, being covered in the blood of Christ. That's right. Do you realize if you do that, you are showing people what victory looks like? You see, you go from the victim of those labels and the victim of that legalism, and you show them the victory of our Lord. Give me my last point, Bonnie. You show them that we have victory in our Lord. You walk from that victory. People see you struggling with the same things they're struggling with, but you have a Savior who died for each and everything you've done, doing, and will do. That changes my walk. I go from walking timid into the throne room, like, oh, I gotta stand before God. And now I just walk. I'm like, yeah. Because Christ took care of it on the cross. It's not my righteousness. It's not what I did. I didn't earn this by preaching or being a pastor. No. It's what he did. Whether you're in the pulpit or the parking lot, it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with him. So we have a victory in Christ, and I want you to see this. I want you to see this. Go back to the verse. Give me 30. The Pharisees and their scribes began grumbling at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with the tax collectors and sinners?" So there's your legalism. They're like, to even eat with the tax collector, to even eat with the sinner, to even be at the table, at the lunch table with those people, you look like a bad person. A lot of us are Pharisees today. We won't spend time with those who are lost. We won't spend time with those who are broken. We only want to chill with the holier-than-thou people. We only want to be in our holy huddles. We won't get out. We quarantine everybody else as if we touch them, we're going to get infected. But this is all I know, is when I see a doctor mama, when I see a doctor scrub up, they don't scrub up to not be involved. They scrub up to put their hands in and cure the infection, right? That's why they cleanse themselves and do all the hygiene stuff so that they can put their hands in. So this is how Jesus responds. Jesus answered and said to them, "It is not those who are well." And that word "well" right there in the Greek, it means hygiene. It's where we get our word hygiene from. It is not those who are clean, who need a physician, but those who are sick, those who are ill. Keep going. He says, "I have not come to call the righteous, but I've come to call the sinners to repentance." So Jesus wasn't concerned about the invitation or the people. He was concerned about the importance of his purpose. Remember that. He wasn't there to party with the people. He was there to pursue the people. I don't want people taking this text and saying, "Uh-oh, that means I can go get lit." No. Time out. He wasn't there to get lit. He was there to give life. That'll preach again, second service, boy. I'm happy I'm doing two. He wasn't there to get lit. He was there to give life. He wasn't there to get faded. He was there to gain followers. I'm rolling down. I like that. He wasn't there to get faded with them. He wasn't there to get drunk with them. No. He was there to win them over. See, I don't need permission to carry out my purpose. I don't care what the Pharisees say. Oh, he's rapping in the pulpit. Okay. Somebody gonna like, did you like it, bro? Amen. See, that's all I need, bro. I don't care if nobody else liked it. I got one right there. Yo, man. My man, that's what I'm talking about. That's all I need right there. He liked it. I don't care if the rest of the Pharisees is like, "Oh, that man rapped in the pulpit. I ain't coming back to this church." You coming back? Okay, just want to make sure. But no. Look at this real quick. I want you to look at, Bonnie, give me Romans 5. Give me the Romans 5. Look at this. When we were, look at this label, utterly helpless. All right? That's a label that the Bible gives you. Not some legalistic person. That's the label the Bible gives you. When we were utterly helpless. Everybody in this room at one point was utterly helpless. Christ came at just the right time and died for us. Look at that label, sinners. All right? You were utterly helpless and you were sinners according to the Bible. And if you believe in the Bible, then this is what your real label was, okay? Go to the next one, Bonnie. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person. That's another label. Though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. Like, this is like Mother Teresa, right? Like, especially good. Somebody might be willing to die for Mother Teresa, but keep going. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still, look at that label, sinners. While we were still sinners, while we still had that label, that's when he died. Keep going to the next one. Verse 10, look at this. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his, look at this label, enemies. These are your biblical labels before Christ. You were God's enemy. Jesus, dying on that cross, restored your friendship. And it says, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So I want you to understand this as I get ready to close out. It wasn't the nails that kept Christ on the cross. It wasn't the nails that kept Jesus on the cross. It was our needs. You see, Jesus had the power to come up that cross whenever he wanted to, but he knew you had a need. He knew you had a need. He saw what the Bible labeled you. Sinner, helpless, enemy. And those labels kept him on the cross so he could remove them, so he could take you from victim to victory. So I want you to think about this as you get ready to go forward. I'm going to get ready to close this out right here. Amen, mama. Amen. Look at this. In Romans 2:4, after Paul gives you this long chapter of all the sins and all the things that you've done wrong and why you're a sinner, and then he starts talking about the people. So he talks about the labels first, and then he talks about the legalistic people who want to point at people and condemn people and just tell people about their sin, right? And this is what he says. He says, do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness being God and tolerance and patience? Not knowing that it is the kindness of God that leads to repentance. Let me repeat that. It's the kindness of God that leads to repentance. Not the fire, hell, and brimstone. Not the talk of people going to hell. Not the telling people about how bad they are and how much of a sinner they are. They know that without coming to church. It's been written on their hearts. It's evident that they're sinners. It's not all that wrath of God that sends people to repentance. It is the kindness of God that leads people to repentance. When I was labeled an alcoholic, when I was labeled a nigger, when I was labeled a womanizer, when I was labeled all these other labels that the world gave me, it was him telling me that he still loves me. It was him telling me that he still wants me. It was him telling me that he still wants me to sit at his table with him that turned me around. Repentance means you're walking one way and you turn around. I was walking away from him and he kept calling on me. I was walking away from him and he kept calling my name. I was walking away from him and he told me he loved me. He told me I died for you regardless of what you've done. And when I found out that he died for me, and when I found out that I couldn't have eternal life with him unless it was for what he did on the cross for me when I was his enemy, I turned around and I pursued him. I turned around and I walked towards him. I turned around and said, Father, all I need is you. The rest of this world has given up on me. My family gave up on me. Dwayne, I gave up on myself, bro. I gave up on me. And he looked at me while my back was to him and kept saying, I love you. Repent. Turn around. So I'm asking somebody in this congregation this morning to hear that message and turn around. Aren't you tired of the labels? Church folks, aren't you tired of the legalism? We have victory in our Lord. Let's walk from victory. Turn around. Turn around and pursue him. When we finish this song, we'll have the kids come out for a baptism. But until then, if God is moving you, please come to the altar. Pray with us. Come meet me on the side, whatever it is. Today's the day you turn around because of what Christ did on the cross. The death, the burial, the resurrection, all of it was so that you could sit at the table with him without those labels. The only label you should have, the only label you should want is child of God, friend of God, He died so you could sit at that table. He died so that you could remove that label. So we're asking you today to pursue him. Amen.
This podcast is a ministry of Church on the Rock, building his body, breaking our barriers. If you would like to learn more, please visit our website at www.churchontherockbb.com.